IFPRI Policy Seminar, the 2014 Global Nutrition Report Launch, held on December 9, 2014 in Washington, D.C. Panel discussion, moderated by Roger Thoreau, author and senior fellow on global agriculture and food at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. Panel, Richard Green, senior deputy assistant to the administrator in the U.S. Agency for International Development's Bureau for Food Security. Brave Rona Indesali, IFPRI board member. Jürgen Vogeli, senior director of the World Bank's Agriculture Global Practice.
Thank you very much, Lawrence. And now we'll start the panel discussion portion of today's event, moderated by Roger Thoreau, Senior Fellow of Global Agricultural Development at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, and an author currently working on a book about the importance of nutrition in that first 1,000-day period. So I welcome Roger and the rest of the panel to the stage. So Roger and then the other panelists. And Roger will make those introductions when he gets there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Lawrence, you too. Thank you, Gwendolyn. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Now that I face this direction, I can see the great crowd that's here. So thank you. And hopefully, so we'll have a panel discussion, but then we also want to get a couple of your questions in, depending on the time. The IFPRI board will be continuing meeting after this, so we want to get everybody back to there who needs to go. And we don't want to never wise to drink the Kool-Aid of anything, but Lawrence's great report kind of provides us with kind of another great sustenance for the discussion and moving forward onto this. We've got a great panel. Richard Green, Senior Deputy Assistant to the Administrator in the United States Agency for Development's Bureau for Food Security. Brave Rona Indesali, Deputy Director of Social Protection Division of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, and one of those IFPRI board members. Brave is not only her name, but I think it's also a good accolade for her agreeing to be on this panel discussion. Then Jürgen Vogeli, Senior Director, Agriculture Global Practice of the World Bank. I particularly wanted to thank Lawrence and his team for the monumental task of putting together this Global Nutrition Report. Both a monumental task and a monumental report. As a journalist, I find it particularly valuable for this great global sweep and scope that you give us, basically for the first time. And I think really important, the references that you also make to the problems of nutrition, the challenges in the United States, the UK, other developed countries, basically is a great indication that, look, this isn't only a problem that's over there somewhere, but it's also something that's really important for this country where we're sitting and many of the other countries that may not think they have a problem. Also, I think it's really important that it shows the cost benefits of everything, of the benefits of action, but then also the tremendous cost of inaction. The emphasis on the multi-sectoral approach, the fundamental nature of nutrition for all development aspects, and that everything has to basically pull together in this direction because nutrition is underlying basically everything that's being done on the development front. And then also the scalability aspects and then certainly the accountability. And I also wanted to point out, I think that the timing is ideal and perfect for this report and the first of several reports, as Lawrence was talking about, given the time and the discussions of where nutrition fits in, where we go beyond the MDGs and this the SDGs. And also that this report then gives us the fuel for the outrage and the inspiration to basically say, hey, let's pay attention to this issue and we need to move forward to it, and it's got to be on the top of the global agenda as we put this together. So anyway, to the panel, Lawrence talked about some of the things that surprised him as a researcher in putting this together. Just wanted to kind of survey each of you of what you found perhaps most impactful in this report, particularly valuable, or something that was perhaps most surprising. So I guess we can go in this direction. Richard?
Okay, the one thing that I would point out is that despite the fact that we have a lot of work to do in all six WHA indicators, we actually have some progress being made, particularly in stunting. And this is important because nutrition had always been looked at in my 31 years in development as being a wonderful thing to do, ethical, but an intractable problem where you invest but don't expect many results. So if we can get examples, particularly of stunting, where there's success story, that's going to change everything because people don't want to fund problems. They want to fund solutions. And this is what I believe turned around malaria because there were some interventions that worked. We have some evidence-based interventions. If we can turn them into cases of Africa and South Asia of substantially reduced stunting, then I think we will change the whole profile of nutrition.
Brave.
For me, it was the wow factor. I went, wow. This is very interesting because it gave to me and many others in Rome when it was being launched a breath of fresh air. We have a comprehensive report with analytical data. It really speaks to the importance of nutrition for sustainable development, provides the area of progress, challenges, scaling up, accountability and monitoring. What can slow down that process? So, wow factor. However, I went further. Great. That was another surprise. Why? My nutrition is affecting everybody in the world. So it will get great attention for the next few years. So this to me was very, very actually impressive. But to give you just the breadth of what happened in Rome, over 2,000 people were there in Rome, over 100 ministers, all the 193 countries, all different type of stakeholders from parliamentarian, civil society, private sector, the government, they were there. And so the report was launched at the climax of momentum. So they were a factor.
Mm. Thank you. Jürgen?
Well, very similar. I mean, first of all, great report, Lawrence. I really enjoyed it, reading it. I think it has something which you rarely have. It has the science, it has the details, it has the good and deep analysis and the data and evidence, but it also takes a big picture view. It takes a step out of the nutrition community, said, what does this mean for development? What should we do in a broader sense? Then it brings you back in, and the recommendations are sort of a combination of those. They're big picture, they're really ambitious, but they're also very practical and specific. So congratulations for that. I really enjoyed reading that. Surprised with the big numbers. If it's really true that you get $16 for every dollar that you invest, the question is, why are we not doing it on a very large scale? You know, you don't get that very often when you look across development investment. So my plea to you in the second and maybe third report is to just dig a little deeper and try to sort of come up with the reasons why we're not investing. My guess is in every country it's different. There are different constraints, there are different rates of return, like you said. I think I remember was DRC or so, which was down at 4, very surprising to me, whereas others was like $45 back on the dollar investment. That requires further depth and investigation, because that will trigger then the funding that's needed and that needs to be unlocked. A couple more surprises, and you mentioned them in your presentation. You know, I also had a little bit the feeling for many years that this is so intractable and it's so hard to make progress. Really scale things up is nearly impossible. But then you present this incredible evidence, like Maharashtra, like Brazil, like a bunch of other places, where at least in a subset of the challenges, you make extraordinary progress over a very short period of years. So we need those case studies. Actually, Schengen and I were discussing this 2 weeks ago. We need country case studies where you really understand what are the policies in those countries, what are the funding mechanisms in those countries, who is in charge, Why is it working? You know, what drives this whole thing to that sort of outcome? Because, and there is some hints in there, but there's not the depth and evidence, which I'm sure you couldn't do in the first report. But I would certainly love to see that in a second round.
Thank you. I'll be trying to put some depth and some of that in the writings that I'm doing as well. And that's why I said this report is so valuable to me as a journalist. And great that you kind of are all mentioning that, yeah, the impact of the numbers and statistics and the wow that this is the situation that we find ourselves in the 14th year of the 21st century with nutrition. But then as Jürgen and Richard were then saying, and Brave too, that no, look at all the examples in here and what can be done and the compelling evidence for that. So Lawrence, you're taking some notes. Anything you want to respond to?
I'm girding myself for a set of negative comments after the good comments.
Comes next. Right.
Thank you very much. But just to respond on the country case studies, my colleague Stuart Gillespie is going to be leading a Stories of Change project, which is going to do more of these country case studies. I do think the evidence... The Lancet reviews are great because they pool all this evidence together in sort of global intervention organization. Does this intervention work in these different places? But it kind of atomizes the evidence and it decontextualizes it a bit. So I think there's a need to put it back together again at the country level. Not good progress. One of the big criticisms of the report is that we do tend to focus only on the success stories. Are not enough on when things don't work. Correct. We'll be a bit braver next time.
as I think everybody alluded to, kind of the compelling evidence and some of the storytelling in here, kind of from all of your perspectives, where do we go from here? How do we put this report into play, and how can it be put to good effect? We can come this way, Jürgen.
Yeah, I think this is a terrific report. Partly also because it's so accessible. It's not for the experts in nutrition only to read and understand. I really enjoyed reading it, and I'm not a nutrition specialist. So I think that's a great start, because I feel over the last 10 or 20 years, you have made such a compelling case within your community of why this really matters, why this is life-changing, why you can save people's lives. It now needs to come out of that community into the agriculture community, which where I am in, into the education community, into other communities in a much more intensive way. Because a lot of the funding that you need is outside of the nutrition community at the moment. We at the World Bank spend $4.5 billion on agricultural programs per year right now. That's the bank side alone for public programs. There's another $4 billion in the IFC that works with companies. If we can harness some of that money to get nutrition-sensitive outcomes or nutrition-informed outcomes, that would be a huge boost and a huge change. We have made that commitment at the World Bank recently, and we will. The reason I'm sitting here and not Leslie or colleagues from the nutrition and health department at the bank is because we really want to change the way we think about this. This is our problem in agriculture as much as it's everybody else's problem. And we have made a commitment that over the next 3 years, our programs will become nutrition-informed and nutrition-sensitive. Now, not every project will have nutrition components, not every one will have a biofortified component, but we will ask the question, and if there is an opportunity, we will include it in there. I think that conversation needs to broaden out and needs to come out, because I don't think it's going to be easy to have a very dedicated, specifically and purely focused on nutrition instrument that will get you your results. It's a multi-sectoral issue, and it needs to be dealt with through convincing others that do the job for you rather than the other way around.
Yep, exactly. Lawrence.
Can I just ask Jürgen, put you on the spot, and say, what is it that would help make that argument? What is it that will get more of the portfolios that you manage to have more nutrition in them? What is it, evidence? Is it? Someone said to me, it's all great to have all these numbers, but really people make decisions based on their instincts and on what's in their heart and what they believe. They don't, of course, they weren't talking about the World Bank, of course, but what is it that's going to make the case?
Very briefly, there are many things. One very important one is if it's convincing that you reach the poor with it and you get them out of poverty and build shared prosperity. For us as an institution, that's totally critical at this point. So we need case studies of successful models and instruments of scaling up and demonstrate how it works. If you can demonstrate that, there will be open ears everywhere in our institution to say, sure. I mean, if it's really a $50 million intervention, even though it may be focused on agriculture or education, but you get this tremendous benefit on the poverty side and on the nutritional outcomes and on the health side, grant you, no question at all. It's not the data and evidence of what's wrong. It's the data and evidence of how to do it right. That's where we need to be. And that's a package of policies. It's a package of investment. It's a package of practical results on the ground. That's how we see it. It's certainly, the time is right, and it's ripe.
Yeah, I was thinking that the case studies point that you and Lawrence make, I think it's particularly important, particularly in the realm of agriculture and farmers.
Right.
If they see that something works, they'll do it. And they see the impact of it, both in terms of the growing of the crops and nutritious value of that, but the impact on their families and the nutrition of that and their income. And so, the case studies, the storytelling that goes along with the numbers is great. Brave.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. Actually, it's good to hear the perspective of the World Bank. To link to that, I would focus more on the country ownership. Mm-hmm. It's extremely important, especially for this report, that it gets rooted and entrenched in countries, launched in countries, I hope, so that it gets the attention of policymakers, it gets rooted into the investment plans. Unfortunately, in most countries, especially in Africa, nutrition is an orphan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's located in agriculture. They will have a focal person in Ministry of Health. Then other, where there's more political, would be in the president's office. But in that case, how now do you root in the accountability mechanisms of making sure that there is direct investment in nutritional sensitive areas when nutrition is an orphan? So working World Bank with countries on coordination mechanism, effective coordination at country level, to ensure that nutrition is not on the mainstream, there's accountability of each sector, each stakeholder, on making sure that there's impact. That is what's going to create even for a demand for data. Mm-hmm. And so you get more countries looking for data because they want to be ensuring the accountability. So they're at country level. For now, regional level is extremely important because at regional level also, you get countries advocating, and that is where policies are shaped these days for the regions. And it's very important that also nutrition gets entrenched in regional organizations where there is capacity for region policies adding value to country impacts. At global level, let's have champions. I'm not going to talk about governance mechanism at global level because that's another whole topic about nutrition in the area. I'm not going to mention on that. But how do we ensure that nutrition, the targets for the next SDGs gets enriched? And that we do have indicators that are going to be monitored at country level. So some accountability also at level, global level, where the constituency of nutrition community get together and understand that have to have collective action that would also help to impact at country level. So.
And what is the FAO doing or can do on this front?
FAO is a great partner, and I think because of the ICN2 and the momentum for ICN2, FAO is continue to work with its partners at the UN agencies to ensure that there are funds mobilized towards nutrition and nutrition-sensitive activities, but also there is a mechanism of ensuring at a global level for governance and accountability. So FAO is working with all the partners in the UN agencies, but also, FAO also has partners like civil society, private sector, and the parliamentarians. So it will have to hold itself accountable to such constraints as well.
Richard, USAID has prioritized nutrition across the board, and particularly in the Feed the Future activities. Where do you go forward with this report and put it into play?
Well, I mean, this this report, building on the Lancet series, talks about the importance of nutrition-sensitive interventions and programs because, as the Lancet series said, even if you scale up the nutrition-specific or the 10 most evidence-based interventions in nutrition to 90%, the 10 of them, you will only get a 20% reduction in stunting. So obviously, you need to go beyond the traditional nutrition-specific interventions. But at this point, I think the whole concept of nutrition-sensitive programming has kind of gone awry because it envelops almost everything. And so you can say, well, we spend billions and billions on nutrition-sensitive programs because it includes all of agriculture, all of water hygiene and sanitation, half of our women's programs, and there's no discrimination of what really works. And so what we're doing based on our multi-sectoral nutrition strategy, which we've rolled out and now implementing, we've come up with about 5 specific items which will determine if an agriculture program, for instance, is nutrition sensitive. Things which are black and white. And then we're going to go back and try to monitor them and look at the data. Because if we don't make it very selective, then we're going to be in a worse situation than we are now. Because people are saying, you know, why do you need more money for nutrition interventions? You're already spending $1 billion on nutrition-sensitive interventions. In fact, I think it was more than $1 billion a year that had been originally calculated. So we do need to be more discriminating. We need to look at the data on this, and then we need to take this whole concept to another level.
I think the multi-sectoral references, not only nutrition, but the water sanitation, hygiene, all sorts of wonderful things that I'm learning about, the environmental enteropathy, the impact of aflatoxins, all these things on the nutritional front. And I think the case study of Maharashtra kind of talks about this kind of multifaceted front or assault that one needs to launch on that. So Lawrence, any other thoughts or then we'll go to questions.
Just the comment, the very important comment by Brave about country-led. I think Jürgen also we were chatting about this beforehand as well. Very important, and the report tries hard within the context of a six-month period to do that. We are going to have 6 country roundtables, Brave, 2 in India, 1 in Ethiopia, Mexico, Indonesia, and Zambia. The really encouraging thing, however, is that a number of countries have come to us and said, we are going to organize our own roundtable around this. Can you just give us a bit of technical backstopping support with some of the materials? And these are countries like Benin, Myanmar, Cambodia, Guatemala, South Africa, Malawi. So great. So that's a real good test for us.
And are you finding that these countries are willing to or eager to learn from successes that are going on elsewhere?
Countries are, that's the evidence that they find most compelling. Is what is a country that they measure themselves to directly or indirectly? How have they done it and what have they done?